In short, Pablo was curious. He wanted to experiment. He absorbed the great novelties around him. He studied the works of Edouard Manet, analyzed the volumes of Cézanne, observed with great attention what Matisse did with color. He met two great collectors, Leo and Gertrude Stein, and regularly frequented dealers such as Vollard. But 1906 was also the date of an adventurous and important trip that would mark him deeply. In May of that year, together with Fernand, he went to Gozel, a village nestled in the Pyrenees. To get there, he had to travel a stretch on the back of a mule, as the path was impassable. But it was worth it. Picasso was struck by this archaic world, discovered at an altitude of 1,500 meters, and he stayed for 59 days. In this corner of Catalonia, he saw examples of pre-Roman Iberian statuary, a figurative universe predating Renaissance proportion, devoid of traditional perspective. Was he about to experience a prelude to the imminent Cubist season? Certainly, a painting like Young Nude departs from the representation of the human figure made up to that time. The quasi-psychological narrative of the mourning men disappears, and the boy's body is a pure study of volumes. The colours, from beige to ochre, recall the lands of Gozel, while the purity of the forms recall the essentiality of Cézanne and of primitive Iberian sculpture. Picasso spent the two summer months in Gozel at the home of Josep Fondevilla, a smuggler and innkeeper. A detail not to be overlooked, because the escape from Paris was not a holiday. It was, rather, a departure from the ordinary to discover new worlds to fascinate him, a bit like Polynesia in the case of Gauguin. It was here, among authentic characters, a rural and tough community, among primitive sculptures, that Pablo discovered the mask. The expressionless face, almost a synthesis between the poetics of the acrobats and the spatial solutions of Cézanne. But having returned from Gozel, he was not satisfied and went further with his experiments. For example, he discovered cinema, which was then in its infancy, and he studied Bergson's philosophy. And borrowing craftsmanship techniques already used by Georges Braque, as Annie Cohen-Salal observes, from 1906 onwards, Pablo gave birth to a series of grandiose creative moments, producing work after work, a primitivist phase, cubism derived from Cézanne, pre-analytic, analytic cubism, an explosion of homogeneous forms, synthetic cubism, collage. Meanwhile, around him, the world of admirers and friends, almost always from the expat world, expanded. There were the American collectors, brothers Leo and Gertrude Stein, and there was a dealer, Daniel-Henri Kahnweiler, who was interested in these forays into the avant-garde. Kahnweiler was a German Jew, eager to carve out a space for himself in the buzzing Paris of the time. Picasso continued to work feverishly. In his head, he had a large painting, or so at least he confided in a letter to his mother. In order to find the right inspiration for what was to become Les Demoiselles d'Avignon, through an assistant of Apollinaire, he procured two antique statuettes. However, this almost proved his undoing. in a story that has something incredible about it. It led him to be interrogated by the police. In 1911, the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre, and it was discovered that two statuettes had also been stolen from this very museum by Apollinaire's secretary. But what drove the investigating officers was the prejudice that associates being a foreigner with being a thief. Nevertheless, Les Demoiselles proved the breakthrough painting. Picasso worked on it for months, making dozens and dozens of preparatory drawings. The painting depicts prostitutes waiting in a brothel on Avignon Street, Barcelona. But what struck those who saw it most of all in the artist's studio was the ugliness of these figures. It was a true declaration of war on traditional canons, those that, in 1907, still nourished France and its aesthetics born of the Académie. For many, this marks the official start of the Cubist period, even though France's official museums rejected it. Thus, in 1937, the painting made its way to the United States. Today, it is the iconic work of the Museum of Modern Art in New York.